I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
How often do you play the victim? Because, boy, this is on my heart, because we're living in a culture right now where that's like the thing to do, play the victim, you know? But you're believers. So why not play the victor? It's far more fulfilling because it's your calling, right? For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. It's a process, of course. But just in case you don't know, this is the victory that has, is, and will overcome the world. Our faith in the midst of our misery. That's what makes us different. That's the victory, right? Our trust, our hope, our love, because of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, who promised, in this world you will have trouble, right? Because otherwise you'd have nothing to overcome. But take heart, he says, because I've overcome the world. So they, and it can be us too, overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, because their actions showed that they did not love their short little lives down here so much as to shrink in fear from death. Because death has been swallowed up in victory. So where, O death, is your victory? For our God gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why our faith in the midst of our problems is such a victory. We're not afraid of death. So do not be overcome by evil, but you overcome evil with good. Because yours, the God you follow, yours, O Lord, is the power and the glory and the victory. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has, is, and will overcome the world. Our faith in the face of death. So, what do people see when they see you? Victim or victor? Because Joseph had been betrayed and trapped and kidnapped and enslaved and taken down to Egypt. And Potiphar bought him. But here's the thing. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, Joseph found favor in his eyes. You see, Potiphar saw what Joseph believed by the way he behaved while enslaved. Oh, goodness. And it caught his eye because he'd be very attractive, right? It's like a shining light in a dark world. That's the victory, our faith in the midst. Which means Joseph modeled true faith in a very visible way. Which, here's a secret, that actually can't be helped, good or bad, because everyone who watches you, watches me, well, they see exactly what you and I believe, right? It's like the old expression you probably heard, I can't hear what you're saying, your actions are too loud, right? And I've told you, I just love the story of Joseph. But what is so amazing about the R-rated testimony of Joseph that they don't share in Sunday school is that even though he is repeatedly victimized in just about every way, he refuses to play the victim. Because throughout the story, this guy is just way too preoccupied behaving like a victor. Whether it's while he's enslaved or in the prison, it don't matter. Joseph, therefore, is the perfect Old Testament example of the New Testament practice that Paul advocates for all of us. Whatever you do, and that whatever means whatever. Whatever you do. Work. This is a command. Work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, whether good or bad. Since you, being a believer, you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. So you're working for Him, really, all along. Because it is the Lord Christ that you say you are serving, right? And here's just the harsh truth. It may not be. Oftentimes it isn't part of the master plan for your eternal best to give you health or wealth or secular power. Because all those things are secondary. They're not primary. I'll tell you what's primary. What's always, always, always primary is that you will thrive where you're planted while growing closer to your sower. And the only way that we'll ever miss out on that reward is by playing the victim. Because you play the victim, you give yourself permission to seize self-centered control, which is the evil opposite of God-centered self-control. For we, you and I, we walk by faith, right? And not by sight. Because He is all about strengthening our faith and transforming and empowering our heart. But our heart can only change when we choose to serve where we're sent. Joseph could so easily have given himself permission to sink into bitterness and resentment, but he would have suffered. We've read ahead. He would have suffered far more, not less. So as slaves of Christ, that's what we signed up for, right? As slaves of Christ, do the will of God with all your heart. Work with enthusiasm as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. There it is. If tomorrow, whoever you're accountable to, whether it's a boss or teacher, manager, spouse, your clients, your customers, neighbors, coach, whoever, whatever, if they were replaced by Jesus Himself, what would be the biggest thing that you would change about you? And I think I know you well enough to know what the answer is. Attitude. Attitude. Because no matter what you think is the biggest, it's the attitude behind it that fuels it. You got to know. I got to tell you about this picture, okay? I went to old chat and I said, make me a picture of Jesus as a Starbucks manager looking over the shoulder of a disgruntled barista making an espresso. And it came up and Jesus was kind of scowling at him. And I said, okay, that's really good, but put an expression on Jesus' face that shows He is humored by our humanness. And that was the picture it made. I thought, I love this picture. This just said, they even put a little tag on him. It says, Jesus. I said, crazy, crazy the technology. Anyway, it's like the other old expression. Life is 10% what happens and 90% how I respond. Let's just say it. We need to hear it. Life is 10% what happens and 90% how I respond. So when we see our serving wherever, whenever, as honoring the Lord, right? And we don't do that enough. But when we see it that way, it empowers self-control, which is the field wherein all the other fruit of the Spirit grow: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. Because it'll inspire a grateful desire to conduct yourself in a way that pleases Him, no matter what your jerk of a boss is acting like. right? In fact, when your boss is a jerk or whoever you're accountable to is, and you know you're working for the Lord, you recognize that, oh, it's a test. See if I can pass, because I work for the Lord. And see, you want to conduct yourself in ways that please Him because you trust Him. That He planted you there. Because you know He's with you. You know He loves you. Potiphar. Oh my goodness. Potiphar, we're told, was captain of the guard. That's his title as interpreted by Bibles. You know what the literal translation of the Hebrew is? Chief slaughterer. We would say chief executioner, but that's its literal. He was, so the chief slaughterer bought Joseph. And so you got to know that so that you can, when it says he found favor in the eyes of the chief slaughterer, you go, wow, okay, the kid's doing something right. And we're told that the royal prison was in his mansion. We're told it was on his huge plantation that more than sustained his entire domain, because officials of his day, Middle Kingdom, 12th dynasty, officials of his day were compensated in government land, both to farm, you know, take care of everyone, for food, and trade. Check this out. This, it's just hard to wrap your mind around this. This is a 4,000-year-old model of a cattle barn from Potiphar's day. As is this slaughterhouse. 4,000 years old from Potiphar's day. As well as this granary. It's all from the same collection. There's the granary. 4,000 year old. Wheat was the mainstay crop. And Potiphar's palace job would have required him to have stewards, you know, running his operation on the plantation, inside the mansion, over the prison compound. And the Lord was with Joseph in his words and actions and attitude. And so he prospered, you know, in all he did with all his heart as for the Lord. And so he lived in the house. And the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph, the Hebrew. And the Egyptians despised the Hebrews. But here's the thing. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. But here's what you got to know. Joseph would have started out in the field. And this, you notice those guys look a little funny? Look at their skin. Looks a little funny? I took an actual tomb painting, Egyptian tomb painting that looks like this, and asked Chat to make it photorealistic. And so this is how they would gather the wheat, and they wore little woolly things on their head to reflect the sun. Okay. So this passage that I just read, this is known as a story compression, implying progressive steps to be filled in by the listener's imagination. And it would be just like if I was telling you a story and I said, oh, I want to tell you about this guy. I know, man, he went to jail. You know, they locked him up and he became the warden. You would just, I would expect you to assume there were some steps in between those two things. And that's part of the fun of telling the story that way. You go, oh, man, I can't imagine what all took place. Well, that's what we're seeing here. And sometimes we make the mistake of thinking Potiphar bought him and stuck him in charge of everything. No, because you don't bring an unknown slave into your house until you're fairly certain he's not going to slit your throat in your sleep. Okay? That's number one. And also, oh, you don't put an untrained teenager from a rural culture, a goat herder who doesn't speak the language, in charge of Pharaoh's operation. Not done. Now, see, in the early listeners, they would have known these things, so they just would have, you know, the imagination would have just done the work for them. We have to remind ourselves. But there is a lot of ground covered in that line, and he prospered. The Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered. We don't know how many years, how many seasons, but then it gives us kind of this little step by step. But one thing's for sure, he doesn't just endure, he thrives. I can't imagine when he first showed up. That mud brick bunkhouse must have felt like a 5-star hotel after living in the tents among the goats. It's like, I guess he, Joseph, you know, they're like, well, you got to stay in the bunkhouse, slave. And he walks in, he's like, wow, walls. Walls, that's cool. And no more murderous brothers. Oh my goodness, and these sheets, Egyptian cotton. And I think I just passed a tiled squat toilet. It is the little things that make a big difference in this life. And little Joe, we see in the story, he not only flourishes in his field work like no field hand of Potiphar's before him, but then your imagination can fill in the steps. He's burning the midnight oil lamp to learn to speak, think, act, look, and of course walk like an Egyptian. Okay? Because his now eyelinered eyes were aligned on that big old mansion, because he's a human and ours would be. Right? You're working out in those fields. There's that mansion. Oh, what do you got to do to be an inside slave? That's where the glamour is, right? Lord, I'm wasting my time in the field. Promote me already. That sounds like us. Because we often fail to see our field as ministry. So we focus not on our field dream, field of dreams, but our mansion dream, right? And hold on to the promise that whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. I'm going to get that mansion. Rarely realizing until after the fact that the mansion is rarely the goal. And for Joseph, if you know the story, then you know the mansion is just a brief stay for some more suffering and testing and growing, right? Preparing him to become, he has no clue, but preparing him to become the second most powerful man in the world. Because, and hear this loud and clear, the field was always the master plan. His first dream took place in what? Say it. The field. The wheat field, right? At first he dreamt about the wheat. And what was the wheat doing? You know the story. He dreamt about the wheat field and the wheat was bowing to him. Why? Because this was God's dream. What? Well, it's pretty on the nose. God called him to master the field. Because God's got a lot of work to do in a short period of time to prime him for his created purpose. Because pride, and we know he had that, pride goes before a fall, like into a pit. And before honor, God's honor, true honor, well, that requirement is humility. He's got to be humbled, which means before the wheat will bow to him, he's got to bow to the wheat. Not only to humble himself, but to learn it, to care for it, to relate to it in order to grow and harvest and store enough of it to feed an entire nation and its neighbors for 7 years. It's all about the wheat field, but his mind is on that big old mansion, because little does he know, he wasn't just planted, he was posted. Because the field was the goal. The mission just grew as he grew. So no time was wasted. And if he hadn't been faithful in his little field, little Joe would have lost out on his big reward from the Lord. And do you not tend to say, 4 months more and then the harvest? Open your eyes. Open your eyes and look at the fields right around you. They are ripe for harvest, just not the one you're looking for. Jesus goes on to say, the harvest is plentiful. That ain't a problem. The workers are few. So what are we waiting for? Wherever you are, do your work with enthusiasm as if you were serving the Lord. For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love you have demonstrated for his name by having served and continuing to serve. if it's as unto him. Joseph could easily have seen Potiphar as his oppressor. That could have been their relationship, but it wasn't. Instead, he chooses to see the Lord as his blesser. And so he blesses everyone around him by his attitude and actions. And when we feel abandoned by God and hurt by others, we tend to default to playing the victim. And we got to shape up. Because when you play the victim, I'm not above that. When we play the victim, all of a sudden we act out in self-centered ways. Because you all know it's true what I'm about to say. There are always so many others to blame. There's just so many to blame. But you can't play the victim without making God the villain. Because you know deep down, you absolutely know that whatever you're going through, he allowed, he's behind it. The Bible doesn't shrink back from this. It just says it. I mean, who can speak and have it happen if the Lord has not decreed it? Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that both calamities and good things come? So, here's the plan. There's purpose behind it. Let us examine our ways, you know, in good times, and test them in calamities. And if we've wandered away, return. Let us return to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts and our hands in surrender to God. And when Joseph, you know, years later, when Joseph eventually reveals himself to his bowing brothers who came for grain, man, he takes it quite a few steps further. He said, I am your brother, Joseph. And I love this. I love this line. I picture he stops for a moment. I'm your brother, Joseph. What a moment, right? And I'm guessing they can't comprehend. They just must stare in disbelief. Because then he says, the one you sold into Egypt. Oh my gosh, that one. But I love this line. I'm your brother, Joseph. The one you sold into Egypt. Come on, guys. It was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. In fact, oh my goodness, he goes this far. It was not you. It was not you who sent me here. But God. He could have added on to that. He just used the opportunity that you and the Ishmaelites gave him when y'all played the victim. You know, for those who don't know the story of Joseph, the big surprise in it is that Joseph just isn't a victim, ever. He was just victimized by those playing the victim. You see, his horrible ordeal, and if you don't hear anything else, hear this and apply it to yourself. His horrible ordeal wasn't something God was just allowing. It was something that God was miraculously providing. Quite often, we give the enemy way too much credit. He only gets to do what he's given permission to do, right? Remember when Jesus said to Peter, Satan has asked to test you. It's like, and you said, no, actually. But I'll tell you this, the enemy sure knows how to milk our victimhood for all it's worth. But we'll need to go through what we'll need to succeed in our created purpose, which is different for each one of us, because he's training you individually to conquer whatever is currently conquering you. And if you love the Lord and you pursue his purpose, you can know in your heart that everything in your life has been, is, and will be an active ingredient in your uniquely fashioned and deeply fulfilling reward. Because God will only allow what you would approve with his perspective. Granted, that's easy to say, but that is hard to hold on to when you're in the middle of your story. But let's just jump to the end of your story. Because the big surprise in the end for you is that you're not a victim. You're not a victim. Never were. Because even if you're victimized, is just going to be part of your bigger victory, part of your story. And so all that, so I can ask you, what field are you in? What's your field? Do you see it as ministry yet? Because just like Joseph, you were created for the field work. So are you serving faithfully and gratefully in your field? Because Potiphar, remember now, who was Pharaoh's captain of the slaughterers, bought Joseph from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there for revenge. But he hit the jackpot at Potiphar's plantation, as opposed to, say, being sold to the salt mines. Right? So he's pretty glad about that. And the Lord was with Joseph because he lived out the fruit of the Spirit out in those fields. And so he prospered and overcame the language, the culture, the business operation, and the eyeliner. And he got along really well with others and moved up the ranks among the field hands. And then came the day when he was finally qualified and promoted to house slave. So he lived in the house, in the slave quarters, inside the palatial house of his Egyptian master. And even though those Egyptians abhorred the Hebrews, you know why? For sacrificing the animals they considered holy. Even so, when his master saw, because he's in the house, he saw firsthand that the Lord was with him in word and deed and action and attitude, and that the Lord, that through little Joe's love, joy, patience, kindness, all that, and self-control, the Lord gave him success. That's how the Lord gives success. In everything he did, because he brought it to everything he did with all his heart. And so Joseph found favor in Potiphar's eyes and became his personal attendant. Now you see him moving up now? Now he's Potiphar's personal attendant. And after proving himself more than capable in that position, Potiphar put him in charge of the household. Yeah, the slaves and schedules and day-to-day duties. And eventually, Potiphar entrusted to Joseph's care everything he owned. I don't need three stewards, I just need one. Because from the time he put him in charge of his household and all that he owned, the Lord blessed everyone and everything in the household of the Egyptian because of the way Joseph, the otherwise despised Hebrew, treated them and conducted himself. And that kind of example, especially in leadership, rubs off on everyone around you. So the blessing of the Lord all of a sudden is on everything. Blessing was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house, which included the royal prison, and out in the field. So he left in Joseph's care everything he had. Because with Joseph in charge, Potiphar did not need to concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now, on top of all this, Joseph was well built and handsome. So that certainly didn't hurt. The guy has it all. But remember, if we won't fall through adversity, the enemy is more than happy to try prosperity. But that is God's R-rated story for another day. So let's pray. Father God, we love you and worship you. Thank you for these stories. And Lord, we're going to try to conquer by serving to honor you. Holy Spirit, empower us to overcome the world by increasing our desire to grow. And Lord Jesus, we thank you and praise you for giving us the victory in our field through you. And everybody said, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.